Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode is part two of our series in treating COVID-19 with monoclonal antibodies. In November, the FDA issued an emergency use authorization, or EUA, for this approach. And this episode examines the issues from the supply chain point of view. We have with us Asra Bilim and Steve Rudner to guide us in our discussion. Asra, welcome back. Tell us a little bit about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me back. I'm currently the Senior Director here at Vizient for Pharmacy Sourcing and Program Services. I lead groups responsible for contracting for branded pharmaceuticals, vaccines, technology, and our network aggregation groups. I also currently have the responsibility for leading our COVID-19 vaccine task force.
Thanks, Asra. And Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role here at Vizient.
Well, thank you, Tom. My background, like Asra and Stacy, is pharmacy, and I got my bachelor's and master's of science degree from The Ohio State University. Subsequent to that, I got my PharmD from the University of Florida. On April 1st of this upcoming year, I'll be celebrating my 20th year at Vizient and the family of companies. My current role is the director of pharmacy network contracting, and that oversees the sourcing activities around our 18 pharmacy networks. But I would say, like most people here at Vizient, we have a second job, and that revolves around COVID. And with that, I am tracking the supplies of the drugs associated with COVID, treatment drugs, as well as ancillary drugs. And this includes the antivirals, kinase inhibitors, monoclonal antibodies, et cetera. In addition to that, I follow the HHS meetings with respect to the allocation and distribution process of the monoclonal antibodies.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you both for joining us today. So, Asra, let's talk about access. What's the role of HHS or OWS have in the distribution and access to this medication? And what's the difference between the drugs?
So currently, the bamlanivimab, the casirivimab, and indemivab, the three monoclonal antibodies that are used right now, are all on allocation from HHS. And so they have responsibility for making sure that the doses are going where they need to go and that they're not being misallocated to sites that may not be using it as frequently.
Steve, what about your thoughts?
Yes, and I would concur with that. One of the things that's happened with especially the monoclonal antibodies, they have evolved, and there's some newer iterations of the allocation and distribution process. Number one, they've actually increased the turnaround time from when they receive the data from the hospitals until it's actually allocated back out to the states. It used to be that you would receive the information, the allocations would be done on a Wednesday, and the drugs would not begin shipping until Sunday or Monday. Over the past couple months, the drugs are now going out on a Thursday. So there's a 3 or 4 day improvement there. Additionally, with the monoclonal antibodies, sites that will be giving this drug have the opportunity, if they need more, to place a direct order outside of the allocation process. Lastly, they've also instituted a project called the Special Projects for Equitable and Efficient Distribution. The acronym is SPEED. And what that does is that will get some of the additional monoclonal antibodies to sites that may need it at a greater rate, such as skilled nursing facilities, long-term care, correctional facilities, as well as federally qualified health centers.
So we're doing this recording in late January, which at present moment, we're having difficulty getting vaccine to people. What's the overall supply to these drugs, and is there enough to go around?
So the supply right now is actually really good. We don't have the same issue that we do with the vaccines. In the vaccine world, the challenges that we have are on the manufacturing side and not being able to produce enough doses to meet demand. But with the monoclonal antibodies, that's not the case. Right now, we estimate that from HHS, approximately only 20% of the doses that are available are actually being used.
Yes, that is absolutely what we've been hearing in our conversations with HHS, as well as the other stakeholders, is that we need to, as Vizient, we need to do what we can do to identify some of the best practices and work with our members to make sure that they understand that there is plenty of drug out there around the monoclonal antibodies. What they have told us is that the number needed to treat to prevent one hospitalization is 10. That actually manifests itself into an opportunity to reduce hospitalizations if we can increase the utilization of these monoclonal antibodies in the outpatient setting.
Now, the biggest issue I hear among my colleagues is where to get the infusion done. Is this only a drug that can be given in infusion centers, or are there other options available?
Tom, I would say that if there is one takeaway from this podcast of the information that I'm here to talk about, it is that it can be given in many sites of administration. Infusion centers are certainly not the limiting factor with respect to where this drug can be given. They can be given in ambulatory care sites. They could be giving at a skilled nursing facility. You can be creative. Basically, what HHS has said is that if you have an idea to give this pharmaceutical, to give these monoclonal antibodies in a safe manner, and you can work through the logistics, explore that idea. And that could be a tent, like a MASH unit. That could be at a skilled nursing facility or long-term care where there's an activity center that's not being used. We just have to make sure that the logistics are correct, as well as the monitoring capabilities of making sure that there is no anaphylactic or infusion reaction afterwards.
Many of my colleagues are also diagnosing and initiating treatment through telemedicine. Is this an opportunity to use home health infusion or home infusion?
Absolutely. Not only home infusion, not only to give the infusion, but whatever healthcare facility wants to do is it not only to infuse the monoclonal antibody, but if and when there is a follow-up afterwards to make sure there's been no infusion reaction or just to see how the patient is feeling, telemedicine is certainly a great addition to this process.
I would agree with Steve. I mean, there are many options for giving the infusion to the patient, and it's really important that our health systems start to explore some of those innovative ideas. I think when the first emergency use authorization came out, it was a bit of a surprise, and there are still a lot of clinicians out there today that are not aware of all of the different monoclonal antibodies that have received an EUA and how to appropriately use them. And once we get that information out there in the hands of clinicians and make them aware that this is a drug that can be used in mild to moderate patients and it's something to be considered in their course of therapy, the next thing is really looking at the challenges for the side of the administration. And the more we can get our healthcare systems to think creatively and outside of the box in order to help on that administration side, the better we're going to see the patient outcomes for this.
And working with our members, have you come away with any best practices on how to engage clinicians on using this and then establishing a protocol, if you will?
Yeah, so we have been speaking with our members over the past month about the use of monoclonal antibodies and what their awareness was, what the receptivity was among their clinicians. And we do have a handful of members who are really leading the charge in this practice, particularly members who are located in COVID-19 hotspots right now. We have a few members who are out in California who began implementing a protocol over a month ago, right when the EUAs were first approved. And their feedback has been that they are starting to see a decrease in their surge with their patients and not having them having to come back to the hospital for severe COVID. So they genuinely feel that it is working for them in their patient population. They had some creative and innovative ideas on how to change the actual physical configuration of their emergency room, as well as a building nearby that would help them care for those patients from the infusion perspective and allow for ample time in between for cleaning between patients, as well as appropriate social distancing during treatment.
Yes, I would absolutely underscore what Ezra said. Vizient is this country's leading healthcare performance improvement company, and this is right in our wheelhouse. We have member-facing professionals, we have network executives, pharmacy executives, anybody that we have that interfaces with our members and our clinical experts at our member hospitals, we are working with them to identify these best practices. And like I had mentioned earlier with identifying the outpatient site, HHS is very flexible with respect to what our members and what hospitals in general need to do to get this medication to its members. So I think that's really Vizient's task. Our charge is to identify and get the message out to those that maybe need a little bit of help, to get the message out to those hospitals that do perhaps need some assistance. And why reinvent the wheel? If it's working in one instance, chances are it's going to work in some other cases across the United States.
Since we were talking about not reinventing the wheel, are there any barriers or challenges that you've also learned from the members that we'd like to share with the rest of the membership?
I would say one of the challenges that we hear from members initially is that they had the misconception that they could only use an infusion center. And I think that just comes from the normal practice that many centers had prior to COVID. But once they realized that there were other types of operations models that can be used to administer an infusion drug outside of an infusion center, some of those challenges were able to be overcome. The other challenge that members have expressed to us is initially they didn't know how to appropriately bill for the medication if they were using an alternate site location for the administration portion. And again, we at Vizient are here to help our members. So if there are any members who are interested and need help navigating through that, we are happy to help them with that.
Yes, I would second that. The logistics of setting up whatever site you're using to infuse these pharmaceuticals. One of the big problems is that you have to be very careful where this infusion site is because you do not want COVID positive patients roaming the halls of a community health center or of a hospital or of what other site you have. So in addition to that, one of the other challenges we have seen, unfortunately not enough, is where there has been a high usage of these monoclonal antibodies and certain healthcare sites are having to decide who gets the drug and who doesn't. That is a challenge that if we can get to the point where we're at close to 100% utilization of these monoclonal antibodies, then that's a challenge that we can also help out with.
So I think that when coming away with best practices, what I'm hearing here is that it's really thinking out of the box. It's being innovative, if you will, on locations of where you can offer the medication.
I would agree with you, Tom. There's no idea that's not worth exploring. If a healthcare provider feels that they have an idea to infuse these drugs to the right people at the right time, they need to explore it. And if there are questions, then HHS is there to answer them.
Azra and Steve, we've reached the end of our discussion. Thanks for taking the time for joining us today on this episode. In the next episode, we'll bring you back along with Stacey Lauderdale to talk about the distribution and administration of monoclonal antibody therapy. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, and send us your comments. And please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast of the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks so much for listening.